Oh, the hard sayings of Jesus. This is, in my opinion, the hardest saying of all of his teachings, especially in our culture now. The question that he raises here was raised by that great theologian, Tina Turner. You ever heard of her? What does love have to do with it? Isn't it just a second-hand emotion? What does love have to do with it? And is she right? Is love just a second-hand emotion? I would say, actually, she's a very good theologian. If she understood, that's exactly what it is in fallen humanity. It is a second-hand emotion. Because that which propels the emotions, the desires, the passions in men's life are the lusts that came out from the fall. The lusts that were taken captive by sin, as Paul was saying. Aren't you glad I didn't preach on that Pauline text tonight? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they make us self-centered. Romans chapter 3 says, we don't even seek after God. No one does. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody that pursues him. Nobody cares about him. After Adam sinned, he would have still been in the bushes. He would have never went looking for God if God had not come to him. When God asked Adam that day, what have you done, Adam? He wasn't looking for information, or even says, where are you, Adam? Where are you? He knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. No, Tina Turner's got it exactly right. In the fallen human state, love is nothing but a second-hand emotion. Jesus taught us to love our enemies, and he says if even the Gentiles can love those who love them, you know, what is that? Right? If it's just tit for tat, that's not really true love. As we see here, love is selfless. It lays its life down for another. What does love have to do with it? Well, again, in our day, with a lot of the bad theology that is going around in the world, I would say in the majority of the Christian congregations of the world, there is a real difference drawn between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It's like they were diametrically opposed. The God of the Old Testament was an angry, fire-breathing, lightning bolt striking, wrathful God. But then when he took on human flesh and really understood what us mere mortals were really dealing with, he changed his mind. Well, that's not really quite right. You see, we remember that when he gave the Ten Commandments, especially when he was given the first commandment, when he said, you know, you shall not have any other gods, and you shall not make God in your own image. We also have a lot of that going on in the world today. Forming both God and Jesus in an image that the Scripture themselves do not represent him as. He does not self-identify with many of the concepts of what God is today. That is called idolatry. When we establish some kind of concept about God that he himself hasn't revealed himself to be. And not only that, in doing that, that commandment was all about love. And how do I know that? Because it says in the text, it says that you shall not make any of these graven images. You shall not create me in a form that I am not. He says, because I am a jealous God. If you go after foreign gods and misconcept gods and serve them, I'm a jealous God. And I will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me and do not keep my commandments. Go look that commandment up. It's all about love. The first commandment, the Old Testament commandments, is all about love. When's the last time you heard that? Right? It's not just written in stone, command, do it. No. Why does God say that? I'm a jealous God. I created you to have fellowship with me, to walk with me, to love me. I created that love in you that we could have that communion, that Adam could walk in the garden with God and have full, sit there and see the beauty of how, of the very God that created him in his own image and likeness, to be able to have fellowship with him, to be intimate in communion of relationship. No, he said, you shall not have any other gods. And oh, by the way, bearing my name, you shall not represent to anybody else out there that they can have any other god either. Because again, I am the Creator God, and I'm a jealous God. I will visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations, to those that hate me and do not keep my commandments. It's really all about love again. And of course, when we come to the New Testament, we understand Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands. You see, as Paul adequately said, the law, as we often think about it, is just this dictate that says, thou shalt do this, and this is how you live. And depending on how well you you keep those laws, well, I'll put you up on the kind of the favorable scale in my life, God says. That don't happen either. You cannot be justified by God because of the fall. You cannot be justified by God by keeping the law. When we believe the gospel is the power of God that converts the human heart, brings in the new birth. God pours his spirit into us when we believe the gospel, as Paul says in the epistle to the Ephesians. And at the moment we believe the truth, the gospel of our salvation, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. It's all about faith. You're saved by grace through faith. So Jesus comes along, and again, he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Not to try to be justified by it, because they will flow out of you like a fruit. That's the difference. You couldn't keep it in your fallen state. The law only revealed how sinful you really are. And that's what was the purpose of it. That's why God gave the law in the world. Why? That people would understand how bad the fall really was on our nature, how it corrupted us from God's image and likeness, how it took the Holy Spirit from us, and how we are nothing but death, and we will go to eternal death unless God reconciles us. So we come to our text today. That was just the setup. Jesus says, you've heard, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I mean, doesn't the Old Testament again set up this concept of Jesus, the Prince of Peace? We remember that beautiful chapter from Isaiah chapter 9. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Isn't that what Messiah, that beautiful babe that was born of the Virgin, was to be? The Prince of Peace. So is there a little confusion here? Or how about when the angels, when that Messiah did come, and the angels seemed to verify what Isaiah said when they declared, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, the peace that Isaiah talks, that Messiah brings, is peace between us and God. Because of Adam's fall, we are born of the flesh by nature, enemies of God. There is no peace. And God takes on that nature of the false teaching and the false concepts, the false gods and all of that, when he said of the prophets of old in Israel, which are a type of the church today, they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The people do not keep the commandments. They do not love God. They do not walk in his statutes. They do not walk in his ways. And that the prophets are saying, it's okay. God likes you just the way you are. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So again, our text is exactly consistent today. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And we learned from last week again on these hard sayings about, it's about relationship. Remember, it's about love. It's not about keeping commands. It's not about being religious, highly religious, hyper-religious. It's about relationship. It's about love and nothing less than that. And you can't have that love unless you, by faith, believe the message of the gospel. Christ gives you the new birth of the Spirit. Then you can love God, because it says, Paul says in Romans, that he pours that love into our heart by the Holy Spirit that he gives us. Again, it's about love. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the keeping the commandments in the right way is a fruit again. But he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands. But he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I will divide, and it starts with the family. That's why he even says, he who doesn't pick up this cross and follow me. Why is it? But you see, when the gospel comes, God created us, the first and the greatest commandment is that we are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all your strength, and all of your soul. And the second is like this, that you should love your neighbor. Well, the highest circle within neighbor is family. You see, it's family. But you can't really love family if you don't love God first. In fact, if you don't love God first, if that love really isn't there, he hasn't brought it about, you're none of his. You're just going through the motions of the day. And we're seeing it today that most of the Christian church really does love the world more than they love God. And how do I know that? Well, because first of all, they go out pursuing their own and building their own kingdoms. How many of our people in all of our parishes, period, throughout Christendom, it's the sign of the time. They bear Christ's name. They say they believe in God, and yet they lay down their lives to bring their kids to sporting events and everything. They love that family so much. You would think that God would say, no, I want you to really love that. And he does, but not at my expense. The fruit of it is they lay down their life for these kids at the expense of their eternal life. They turn away from God. They don't appear here or anywhere. Oh, maybe at Christmas and Easter and times of convenience. But you know what? That isn't love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. One of the commandments is, again, the third commandment. You shall honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Not to be justified by keeping the law, but you're going to have, when the Holy Spirit is poured into your heart, you're going to want to be in the presence of the Lord. Your life is going to bear witness that you're not out there kingdom building, that God is first in your life. If he's really first in your life, you're not just a religious person. That love for him, and also when you really love him and you have that intimate relationship with him, you're going to love the church. You're going to love the brethren. You're going to have fellowship. You're going to walk in the light. You know, I've said it before, and that's why I've been inviting even on Sunday mornings now, that it says if we walk in the light like he's in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. But you know what? When the church just comes in and they sit in the pew and they hear the message and they're entertained and they walk out and there's no fellowship, do you see the problem? There's a problem. And it really goes back to this. Do we really have God in the first place and the right priorities in our life? This is one of those checkup questions that Jesus asked. He really wants us to ask this. Because again, it is a matter of eternal life. Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you bearing the fruit of that relationship in your life? Because again, as Paul said, really when it comes to communion, that if we come and we eat of this body and blood whom we say that he gave for us, and we eat it in an unworthy manner, not in faith, he says that's a man should examine himself if he's worthy to eat. That means in faith. He says, because many of you are coming here, that's why some of you are sick and even dying. No, he says, God says, judge yourselves first, so I don't judge you. You see, sin is a terrible thing. And the first sin, of the greatest sin of all the sins that we can walk in, is not loving God. Not having a relationship with him and with his people. No, Jesus said, I didn't come. I'm coming to restore me and the Father in your first worship and love. You have to get this right. You can't get the second one right if you don't have the first one right. That's why he says, because this conflict of the true faith, Jesus said last week's sermon in the heart, if they hated me, they're going to hate you, Christian. Does the world hate you? Is there division within your families because of your religion and your faith and your love for Christ? Again, that's an evidence, or the lack thereof, that you may not be in a right place and a right relationship with God. Jesus in these texts, in these hard-saying texts, again, is asking us to examine ourselves. And again, that great theologian, Tina Turner, she got it right. What's love got to do with it? Everything, if it's in its proper place. And if it's not in its proper place, it is truly nothing but a secondhand emotion. And you will never enter into the gates of heaven and sit in the glory of God for eternity if you haven't let God convert your heart. And you come before him with everything and say, Lord, if I've missed it, please let me see. I don't want to get this one wrong. Amen.